Let's begin our time together as we look at God's Word. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and I want to read beginning at verse 13. James says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us look to our God in prayer. Our Father, as we come to your word this morning, we plead, O blessed Holy Spirit, that you would teach us. You are the one who shows your people the truth. You are the one who stirs in the heart and brings sinners to a knowledge of yourself. You are the one who works in the heart that men are born again. And loving you, O blessed Christ, we plead, Lord, for your direction. We plead that you would show us. May we understand your word. May we obey your word, even this day, that, Lord, we would be ones who are pleasing in your sight, in your precious name. Amen. As we look at this passage this morning, we'll be concentrating and focusing our attention primarily on verse 16. In this section, James is dealing with those who find themselves both spiritually and physically sick. He focuses in verse 16 on the spiritual aspect of which we want to consider. He begins by saying in verse 16, "Confess your trespasses, your sins, to one another." It is a responsibility that is ongoing. It continues as the people of God function together in a local congregation. When we speak of confessing our sins, it is not that we confess all the sins that we are guilty of, no. I believe that what James is speaking of is this confessing is that when we sinned against each other, when it comes to a point when we offend one another, we're to take care of that offense. We're to confess our sins one to another. For the sins of our heart, we confess to our God alone. It's nobody else's business. It is that which we deal with before our God. And we confess before him. He is our gracious high priest. We don't confess to human men who call themselves priests, for we have only one priest, and that is the Holy Spirit, that is the Lord Christ. Christ is our priest. Christ is the one who intercedes on our behalf. But we are encouraged here to confess our sins one unto another. And we're also told to pray for one another. This is very critical in our life together as a congregation, and that we are involved in each other's lives in the sense that we pray for one another. We share our concerns. We share our afflictions. We share those things that we are facing in life, whereby as brothers and sisters, we enter in prayer and seek to support by way of prayer. We pray for one another. That means that we must, as it were, be together. That means we must communicate with each other. That means that we must talk with each other. There is no such thing in Holy Scripture as an isolated believer who just walks by himself or herself apart from the people of God. Not to the end, as we confess our sins one to another, it is not to the end that we do so in order to gossip or in order to hold one another accountable in that sense of simply gossiping and telling others and looking down on each other. No. But it is for the purpose of being healed. And the Lord Christ in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, by his stripes we are healed, that the Lord Jesus Christ would heal us. Healing, and that which speaks of sins that are confessed before our God, and by his grace we're given the power and the grace to overcome and to turn from those sins, a spirit of repentance. Establishing our duty to pray for one another, the apostle goes on to give this precious promise. And this is what he says: the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This is a blessed principle regarding prayer. It's a great encouragement, is that when we pray to our God, we shall be heard. When we pray to our God, he not only hears, but he grants grace. And this is supported by an example that is given in verse 17 and verse 18. Let us consider this promise together. Listen and look at who is involved in this prayer. He says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. It is a righteous man, not only a believer in Christ, but one who is walking with God, a godly man and woman. For Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You cannot go on in sin and expect God's blessing. You don't go on in sin and expect that God will answer. No, it is the righteous man whom God hears. It's a privilege of all believers, for all believers who are in Christ and who are believers in Christ are righteous to some degree or the other. And they come through the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24 of that. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus is the one who is in the presence of the Father. He brings our prayer before the Father as we pray in Him, and He sanctifies them, makes them holy before the Father. And as He brings them to the Father, prayers will be answered, and prayers will come to their fruit in Him. Secondly, notice the manner of coming that's described in this promise. It is the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Fervent, the word means to be greatly earnest, to be active. It does not say, as it were, just to mimic some words here and there. But it is another way of saying that as we come to our God in prayer, that we come to Him with the whole heart and the whole mind and the whole spirit. We love Him and we desire to please Him. So it is not just a form. It's not just something we mutter here and there because we have to. It's not something that we do because we simply want to be spiritual, but it is because we are earnestly seeking an answer of our God. And He delights in His people coming with a fervent spirit, an earnest spirit. And so this is what He says, that we are to come in this spirit, fervent prayer. Prayer that pours out the heart. Prayer that comes in a single manner before the Lord, seeking to put all other obstacles, distractions aside, having real dealings with the living God. We have many examples in Holy Scripture. One of them is in Genesis 32:24 of Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel, which many believe is the Lord Christ. And when the word says that Jacob wrestled, that term and that word means that he literally rolled in the dust. It was to bring out a effort that was with the whole heart and all of his strength. He wrestled with the Lord. He was dead earnest. He desired not only to meet with God, but to have his prayers answered by God. He wrestled with Him. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, when it talks about believers in the upper room as they prayed continually, the word there means to strive and to persist, to keep up prayer with much labor, to enter in, as it were, with a whole heart. You have another example in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, we have this illustration where we read the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 11 and beginning with verse 5. And He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. And how shall we seek? And how shall we knock? We do so persistently. That is, with fervency. And that is, with our whole heart, we come before God. How often it is that our prayers are just so, so cold. But here it speaks of one coming with such great, great boldness. Imagine would it be in the times of prayer as we meet together as God's people, if in our prayer meeting we would have, as it were, believers who are praying fervently and praying with their whole heart and addressing their concerns and addressing their petitions and addressing their praise to Almighty God. This is the prayer which God promises will prevail. It ought to make us to cry out to the Spirit of God that He would inflame our love and our affection towards our God. All the way through the Psalm, Psalm 119, what Psalmist says in verse 10, that he prays with a whole heart, the whole heart. When Paul speaks to the people of God and says, you must strive, you must pray for me, in Romans 15 and verse 30, it is that they enter in seriously into prayer. They mean business when they pray. It's not simply a little mumbling here and there. It's not simply, okay, well, I have to go off to work, so I say a little prayer, or I have to do this, but, you know, I should say a prayer, and so I just say something very carelessly, very superficially. No. Times when we are alone with our God, and we come before Him, and our God wants us and desires that we pour out our hearts. We confess before Him. He knows our frame. He knows our heart. And we plead for that grace to turn from sin. We plead that He would forgive us our sins. For only He can forgive. And He is ready to forgive. And if we confess our sins, He will be faithful to forgive our sins. That is, of His people as they come before Him. When a sinner comes to Him initially for faith and repentance to be born again and saved, crying out as the publican, God, have mercy upon me, which lifted up his voice with a sense of urgency, a sense of fervency. God hears the cry. Then James gives this blessed promise. He gives an example. He talks about Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed, verse 17 of James 5, earnestly. He didn't simply pray, but he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years. Imagine what that land looked like. No rain for 3.5 years, how dry, how parched, how little there was as far as anything growing whatsoever. But then it comes time that he prays again, and he prays for rain, and God answers his prayer. And if we go back to 1 Kings 18, this is what we read regarding Elijah. in 1 Kings 18 and verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundant rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. It was a gesture, an expression of deep and profound and urgent prayer to his God. He comes before his God to pray. And he said to his servants, "Go up now and look toward the sea to see the rain coming." And so he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing. There is nothing." And what did Elijah said? And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up and say to Abraham, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." He prayed. And when he prayed, the first time there was nothing. Because you see, beloved, God often withholds his help at the first cry that we give. If God answered our prayers always on the first knock, then we would not, or we would tend to forget our dependence upon him. But so often he waits, and so often he does not answer on the first. The earnest cry is what delights the ears of Almighty God. He was earnest. And his praying was not affected by God's sovereign might. For listen to the words of our God in 1 Kings 18 and verse 1. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.'" If God says, "I will send rain," then rain will come. God will sovereignly see it, and it will happen because God is all-powerful. He's not a liar, and therefore, if he says something, he will do it. And he said unto Elijah that he would send rain. But that did not stop Elijah from coming before his God and praying persistently, as if it totally depended upon his prayer whether the rain would come. He did not see any conflict between the sovereignty of God and his responsibility to pray, but he comes before his God and he prays with great earnestness, knowing that God has so decreed it, God has so said it would happen. But he knew that this was the means by which God delights in showing mercy and supplying the needs, spiritual graces and mercies to his people. If the tongue prays alone, it is but an empty ring before God. We often mistake lungs and sighs for grace. Do we not confess that we know so very little of earnest prayer? But to have that fervent prayer, to have that which is not the tongue alone, but the heart, and having come before God with all of our heart, fervently praying before him, reflecting upon the example of Jacob in Genesis 32 in verse 24. No matter what difficulty and Jacob was facing, some very frightful moments with Esau, facing moments when it could be his very life, and he prays with great fervency, seeking God's face. We must pray to Him and not faint. And what is the result of it all? The result of it all is that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Avails much. That is, it shall prevail. That is, it will have an effect. Oftentimes, we think that God does not hear us. And yet, so often, it is that fervent prayer. 7 times Elijah went to pray, and he prayed urgently. The keys of providence seemed to hang upon his belt. His voice had reached the heavens, and he prayed with all of his might. And God heard, and his prayer prevailed. And that is the promise, that if we call out to him, he will hear. And if we knock, it shall be open unto him. Well, there are those believers who would say, well, this principle is good and fine. But the men that exercised fervent prayer were men far beyond in godliness than I could ever be. And Elijah, what a man of God, a prophet he was. Well, James says, no, you cannot think that way. For verse 17 of James 5 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was feeble like we are. He's weak like we are. He would have a cold heart like we do. He would have afflictions that would distract him, and just like ourselves. And therefore, being a sinner, just like we are a sinner, and then we have, as it were, this promise given unto us, as it was to Elijah, that a fervent prayer of a righteous man will prevail with God. That is the beauty, and it is given unto all believers without exception. That's why the Lord makes so much of this, as he does in Matthew chapter 7, when he taught his disciples, and he says in verse 7, ask, it will be given unto you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it will be opened to you. It's not a careless asking. It's not a careless seeking. It's not just a little soft knocking. No, it is that which comes with a whole heart, diligently, persistently, with urgency, seeking God, asking God, not giving up. We don't see the answer right away. That we continue to pray. We continue to bring it before our God. For everyone who asks will receive. Yes, he loves his children. He hears his children. And for the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, sanctifies our prayers before the Father. And everything that the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, asks for will be given, and he who seeks will surely find, and he who knocks will surely be open to him. It is that which is the heartbeat of a child of God, to stir him up, that just makes the heart run and beat so fast, to know that our God is not asleep. Our God is not distant. Our God is not one who turns his back, but he is there and he is ready. Why is it that so-called believers have so little, sanctification, that is holiness, that is obedience in their heart and in their lives. So little prayer. Why is it that in afflictions there is no comfort, so very little prayer? Why is it that there's not a moving as there should be in hearing the Word of God? How is it that those professing Christ can come and hear the Word of God and come and sit in a service and come and have the Word before them, but never have any effect, never have anything done into the heart? There's no prayer. There's no prayer before coming. There's no earnest prayer that the Lord would open up His truth and show Him, open up the heart to receive. There is nothing. We just simply presume. So often, believers think they come to a service and automatically the Spirit will bless and blessing will just flow no matter what. No, no, it won't. It is the fervent prayer. It is the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's the prayer that prevails. That is the prayer that sees things happen spiritually. And James gives this promise from the Lord unto us to encourage us, to cheer us up, because as sinful men, we walk among a darkened generation of ones who do not know. We walk at times being ridiculed. We walk at times of affliction and hardship, ones that do not treat us aright. There is a great need to be close unto our God. He is the one who answers, and He is the one who sanctifies us. And so we must ask this question: what about our times with the Lord? Do we have times where we pour out our hearts to Him? Do we make time to come and plead? Do we take those things that are earthly, temporal things, things that are just in this life, and set aside a certain amount of time to really give ourselves to prayer? Is prayer so significant that we cannot even begin our day without coming before our God? Is prayer so significant that everything we do, we offer up a prayer? You see, praying is that which comes from the heart, so we can pray at any time. We can pray while we are at work. We can pray while we are at school. We can pray while we're at the grocery store, because we offer up our prayers to our God from our hearts. It doesn't have to be always by way of verbal speech, but we pray to our God. But those times when we are before our God, and we are like Jacob, he's alone, and there he meets with his God, and he wrestles, and he pleads. And when the time comes for the angel to leave, he says, "No, not until you bless me. I need your blessing. I need, Lord, your mercy." May it be that the Lord would grant us this spirit of prayer that so often is not at all seen. What is it with us? How do we come before our God? Why is it that we have so little answers? Could it be that we are not properly entering into this promise, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much? Mighty things God has done throughout the history of His saints. mighty, mighty things, where it is totally seen to be of God and no human intervention. God is mighty, and God works in marvelous ways. May it be that we would be men and women of true, fervent prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you so much for this blessed promise. Promise that so often, Lord, is not true of us as we come before you in prayer. How often we come just with form, coldness, because we have to. It's expected. Oh Lord, stir up our hearts that we see, Lord, the blessing. We boldly come before you, even this moment. We do because, Lord, you have told us to come, and we come by way of the Lord Jesus Christ, our gracious High Priest. We have much, much to ask for, and you alone are the one who can give us the answer and work it in your gracious providence. We plead, Lord, that you would make us more fervent in our prayers, that we would, Lord, walk in righteousness, walk in holiness, walk in a victory against sin. Walk, Lord, pleasing in your sight, in your precious name. Amen.